Hi, and welcome to Vibrant Health with Donna Parker. Today I'm speaking with Phyllis Timmall, and Phyllis is a certified holistic coach and loving mother of her daughter Elise, son GJ, and their dog Reed. She founded Well Women to empower mothers in holistic self-care. Think life coach meets nutritionist, and that's Well Women Balanced Living for Moms. So, welcome, Phyllis.
Hi, thank you.
And so today, Phyllis and I are going to talk about how you can have more energy, a better mood, and overall health this summer. So, Phyllis, why don't you get us started? What could we do to increase our energy and have a better mood? Because everybody needs that.
I think there's lots of different things you can do, but being on the nutrition side of things, I think it's really, really important to just keep in mind that you are what you eat. And one of my favorite topics that I hear all the time, questions from friends, from family, from clients, and just people I meet on the street are about inflammatory foods and what those do to us.
So what is an inflammatory food? What is that?
Yes, scarily, almost everything could be considered an inflammatory food.
Oh
But to really break it down simply so that you can walk away with what you should and shouldn't eat, there are really three main types of inflammatory foods that I've done a lot of research on, and those would be dairy, soy, and wheat.
no. Okay. And so, gosh, that means like there's nothing else left to eat, right?
Pretty much. If you start looking at nutrition labels, it gets a little bit scary.
And so why should we limit or eliminate these foods in our diet? What's the purpose in that?
It's important to be aware of inflammatory foods and what you're putting into your body because they really interfere with our body's just our normal processes. Although we do not all have celiac disease, gluten creates an amount of chronic inflammation within us all. The same thing actually goes for dairy and for soy. They are essentially extremely hard for our guts to digest. And because our bodies are constantly striving for homeostasis, our bodies react accordingly. Symptoms could start off as a headache, or maybe some of you are experiencing some bloating or gas that you're not really sure. Maybe you pop Tums, and that's just a normal way of going about it, but it can actually all be attributed to some of the inflammation going on. And the other thing that I think that's extremely important to watch them is because as we're talking about, feeling vibrant and having a lot of energy and just overall feeling healthier, about 70% or more of our immune system actually lies in our gut. So compromising its health can lead to an array of challenges. And like I said, those things like gas, bloating, headaches can just be the start of it, and you can also get more elevated symptoms as well. So the real trick is as to why it's important to limit inflammatory foods is because it's kind of like playing a game. And what we're trying to do is balance back our gut bacteria. A lot of us are walking around with an unbalanced gut flora and tend to have more, I'd say, bad bacteria than good. And bad bacteria love to thrive on things like sugar and acidity and all types of things that we get from eating inflammatory foods. And so it's important to make sure that we introduce healthy gut bacteria and stay away from processed foods like genetically modified foods, maybe things that are non-organic, things that have all of those ingredients that you can't pronounce. It's important to make sure that you're just aware of all of those things.
Right. And so, what has been your experience with limiting inflammatory foods?
Yeah, my story is a few years ago after the birth of my daughter, who's now 3.5. I actually was experiencing some chronic digestive issues. I had gas issues, I had diarrhea issues, and first just kind of brushed it off and attributed it to stress and other things that were going on in life, like I'm sure many people have. And then I started reading more about it and realizing I was actually in nutrition school at the time that changing what I eat could actually really help. So I actually went ahead and followed what is the GAPS diet. It's called the Gut and Psychology Syndrome, and it essentially cuts out, the majority of it is about eliminating inflammatory foods from your diet. And by doing that, I was able to heal myself and heal my gut and create a healthy gut bacteria and alleviate those symptoms. So this is not only a hot topic for me, but I have family members that I've helped cured of similar issues, headaches, migraines, other different types of things, simply by changing what they put into their bodies.
Nice. And so if you could just eliminate one inflammatory food, where would you suggest people could start to feel a little bit better?
It's so funny because I get this question all the time. As soon as people find out I do nutrition and all of that stuff, they're always like, oh, what one thing should I not be eating? And for me, the easy answer is soy. Why? Honestly, most of the soy that we eat in our diet is genetically modified. And even if it's not and you're buying organic soy, unfortunately, a lot of it is unfermented. So the story behind soy is that, you know, in trying to create more longevity in the lives of Americans, we kind of researched in our Food and Drug Administration and everyone researched, oh, what cultures live longer? And they found that in the Japanese culture, they tend to live a lot longer and they're healthier. And so they took a look at their diet and saw what they were eating and found that they actually had introduced soy and had soy in their diet. What they neglected to notice was that the soy that they eat there is actually fermented soy. And so, unfortunately, in introducing that then to the U.S. diet and genetically modifying it and just trying to create this health food, they ended up actually creating an unhealthy food because it's unfermented and it's processed. And it actually acts as a foreign body within our own body. And our bodies just aren't able to process it, aren't able to digest it. And it's just like a foreign substance that they don't know what to do with, and so it creates inflammation. And I'll tell you, once you start reading labels and start looking around at everything, soy is pretty tricky to eliminate, but it would be the one thing that I would suggest people at least at first become more aware of.
And do you, like gluten, soy can be kind of hidden in things. Yes. Is there one thing, like when people are reading labels, if it doesn't directly say soy, does it say anything else that might be soy-like that you know of they should look out for?
Usually it'll have some version of soy. It may say soya, or it may say an emulsifier, or a lecithin, or all different types of other things. Soy is actually a good one, because usually they do put some type of soy in there.
Okay.
It gets more tricky when you look at things like corn, for example, which is really highly acidic. That is hidden in everything from xanthan gum, which you would think, what? That's corn. But soy usually is an easier one to identify.
Okay. And what is a fermented soy product? If somebody really wants to have soy, what's a fermented one?
Mm-hmm. You can do things like natte, which is a type of soy that's fermented. That's actually really good. Fermented foods, actually, as you asked, are extremely important as we're talking about lowering inflammation in the body and creating good gut flora. So introducing more fermented foods, things like pickles and sauerkraut and kombucha, all different types of things, those help combat the inflammation that may already be taking place within your body.
Okay, and then, but would tempeh be a fermented soy product?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so some people might not be familiar with tempeh, but it's a good substitute if you're perhaps a vegetarian, but you want like a stir fry or you want some kind of protein product. I think a lot of times when people are vegetarian, they just go to the soy end and fill in with tofu and everything else that's a soy product, or those fake soy meat products, like that. And then that's a lot of processed soy to be eating.
It is certainly a lot of processed soy. And I know that's the first thing, because I have a lot of vegetarian friends who ask me, and if your gut can handle it and there hasn't been too much damage done, I think beans are a great other source of protein. But tempeh, yes, definitely. And you know, I don't want to set any fears in anyone. I think it's really all about just being aware and everything in moderation. But I always encourage the clients that I work with and my family members, people I talk to, is to just do a little trial. See what happens when you eliminate it and then maybe add it back. How does your body react? Is your body tolerating it okay? Maybe you have healthy gut ratio. Or is it bothering you? Do you notice that the times that after you eat it, maybe you feel a little sluggish the next day, or you have a headache, or maybe you're noticing a little gas? And then you can kind of play around with it and go from there. It's really, I firmly believe in bioindividuality. So everything is not the same for everyone, but science and research has proven that these inflammatory foods can start to become an issue, underlying issue of bigger challenges with health.
Right. And we know, the science shows, that inflammation has really been noted as the root cause of all degenerative disease. So we're looking at like diabetes and cancer and all sorts of diseases that are really common today, but they're linking it back to the beginning as inflammation. So the more that we can reduce inflammation in our body, the more long-term health possibilities that we have. It's not guaranteed that we won't come up with some disease, but we definitely want to be able to help ourselves. And by reducing that inflammation, that's really going to help in the long term.
Yes, definitely.
And how do you feel about probiotics? Because you were talking about good gut bacteria. Do you do a probiotic?
I do. I'm a huge fan of them. I've written about them a lot, and it's something I encourage everyone that I work with and everyone I know to take a probiotic.
Great.
They essentially help to regulate that ratio. It's very hard, even if you eat the best diet, unless you're fermenting all of your foods and kind of going overboard with trying to make sure that you're eating them. It's challenging just with our society and our diet to be able to get enough probiotics from your diet. And so I do, I'm a big fan of probiotic supplements. There's two brands that I like specifically, either Jaro formulas or Renew Life, which is I like the Ultimate Flora brand.
Great.
Both of those I think are great.
Good. Yeah, I use USANA, and then I also use Standard Process. And I had had some training that said we should kind of switch them around a little bit, like pick a few brands you like and then, you know, keep alternating them so you're not just taking the same probiotic for years on end. And I actually had a good result with that with a patient who was on a same probiotic for a year or so, and then she started getting gut issues again. And I said, let's switch up your probiotic. And within a week, her gut had settled back down again. She just needed some different in there to switch things up. And whatever had happened, her gut had gotten used to the one that she was taking. And then we just needed to switch it up, and it worked. So it's good to have several brands to to rely on.
And I do think another question I often get about probiotics is shelf-stable versus refrigerated.
Right.
I would love to hear your take. My personal take is that they are live bacteria, and so how long or how many are you really, what's the potency that you're getting if it is shelf-stable versus one that should be refrigerated? So I always lean towards ones that are refrigerated. Just thinking you're taking a live bacteria, that environment's going to be more conducive.
Right. Well, I think that the two brands that I use are actually shelf-stable, and the one with USANA is actually a packet that you dissolve in water and drink, and I find that that sort of thing is really helpful for people who travel a lot, and then that way they can have an option. So from what I understand is that you can get, with a high-quality product, you can get a very stable non-refrigerated version.
Okay.
But I think that it's got to be, you have to look at the quality, because not all supplements are made the same. And a lot of supplements have lots of fillers in them that are, you know, inhibit your ability to even absorb the nutrients. So people may be buying a vitamin and it has the right things in it, but what it doesn't list is the fillers. So we really need to look at, so that's why I use those two brands that I use, because I know that they're made with a high quality and that you are absorbing the nutrients that are provided. If you, you know, I think that as you switch around, refrigeration is fine as well. I also find that, you know, sometimes people need the little packets that they can stick in their purse and, you know, on the go. So you have to figure out the way that's going to work best for the individual. So from my research, don't just go to get any brand that's on the shelf.
Money, sometimes this is an important place. It's your health. So spend the money now as opposed to later.
Exactly. But, you know, there's also just like, you know, night creams and face products and that sort of thing, money doesn't always equate to better quality. So it's a hard industry to navigate through. You and I can, but you know, we're both good resources because we've done their research on products that are out there. And that's why I'll only recommend a couple of very specific brands, because I know that they're high quality. Yes. So it's, if you don't know what to take, then definitely go to a professional and ask them, because they've probably done the research.
That's
always my advice. So is there anything else? Oh, I did have one other question. So when people look at dairy and soy and gluten, and there, it kind of seems like that's a lot. Do you suggest just start with soy and start eliminating that and see how you feel, and then maybe go for dairy or wheat products, or, you know, will it help if people, sometimes when you talk to people about completely eliminating them from their diet, they might feel that that is just too much or too overwhelming.
And it is. It's extremely overwhelming. I know, because I had to do it for my own personal quest. So I always say start slow. Any changes that you make are going to be better than what you were putting into your body yesterday. So start with one at a time and see. You know, soy would be a great place to start. And then you can move to gluten. Luckily, this day and age, it is a lot easier to eat gluten-free. People are more aware of it. That doesn't mean that all gluten-free products are necessarily healthy. That's another trick you can get into. Oh, I eat a gluten-free diet and it's healthy. But again, as Donna and I both recommend, read labels, make sure you can pronounce everything, make sure you understand everything that's in it, and just start slow and test around and see how your body reacts. Your body will tell you what you should and shouldn't be eating once you pay attention to the signals it's giving you.
That's good. And once you start eliminating foods and then you do eat them, I find that you will definitely feel a recurrence of symptoms. And that's like, that's your uh-oh food. Like, oops,
exactly.
I don't need to be eating that one.
Yeah, that's an aha moment.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this is going to raise energy, but it's also going to raise your mood. And one of the things I like to tell people is when you have better gut health, 85% of your serotonin, which is your happy hormone, is actually produced in the gut. So by cleaning up your gut and eating less inflammatory foods, you're also going to be happier. You're going to have more serotonin available to boost your mood. So that's a really important one, too. Everybody loves feeling happy.
Yes, definitely. Especially in the summertime, and there's lots of fun things to do and explore. You want to be feeling your best.
That is true. So Phyllis, thank you so much for your time today. I'd love you to share your resource and where people can find out more about you and what you have to offer.
Sure. So you can check out my website. It's www.wellwoman.com. It's WELLWM as in Mary, N as in Nancy.com. You can also email me at phyllis@wellwoman.com. Check it out. Anyone that goes onto my website, checks me out, and signs up for my newsletter just by listening to this podcast will actually get a free informational handout on the top 5 foods I believe that everyone should be eating today to kind of feel better and have more vibrant health.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to check that out myself. I'm looking forward to it. So thank you so much for your time today, and we will hopefully talk to you again soon in the future.
Great. Thanks so much, Donna. I appreciate it.
Thank you.